ॐ ज्ञानातिमिरन्दस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. मुखाकरोति वाचालं अङ्गूरं गायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुदिनतारिणं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्यैश्वरं पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तिशक्तिकं. हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कान्ता राधाकान्ता नमोऽस्तुते. तप्तकाञ्चन गौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादी गौरभक्तवृन्द. हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. हरे कृष्ण. I would like to request all the assembled Vaishnavas to please give me permission and I seek blessings to share a few. Let's remember Gadadhar Pandit and his pastimes. So, reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, 10th chapter, text 15. बड़ा शाखा गदाधर पंडित गोसानी तेन हो लक्ष्मी रूप तन्र समके हनाई. गदाधर पंडित द फोर्थ ब्रांच इज डिस्क्राइब्ड एज एन इनकर्नेशन ऑफ द प्लेजर पोटेंसी ऑफ श्री कृष्ण. नो वन देयरफॉर कैन इक्वल हिम. पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद. In the Gaura Ganodesha Deepika 147-53, it is stated, the pleasure potency of Sri Krishna, formerly known as Vrindavaneshwari, is now personified in the form of Sri Gadadhar Pandit in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami has pointed out that in the shape of Lakshmi, the pleasure potency of Krishna, she was formerly very dear to Lord as Shyamasundara Vallabha. The same Shyamasundara Vallabha was present in Lord Chaitanya's pastime as Gadadhar Pandita. Formerly as Lalita Sakhi, she was always devoted to Srimati Radharani. Thus, Gadadhar Pandit is simultaneously an incarnation of Srimati Radharani and Lalita Sakhi. In the 12th chapter of this part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a description of the descendants or disciplic succession of Gadadhar Pandit. If you would like to repeat the translation, Gadadhar Pandita, the fourth branch, is described as an incarnation of the pleasure potency of Sri Krishna. No one therefore can equal him. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Gadadhar's qualities are described thus. पंडितेर सौजन्य ब्राह्मण्यता गुणा दृढ़ प्रेम मुद्रा लोके करीला ख्यापाना. सो गदाधर पंडित इज सेलिब्रेटेड ऑल ओवर द वर्ल्ड फॉर व्हाट? एस्पेशली फॉर हिज जेंटल बिहेवियर, हिज ब्राह्मणिकल एट्रीब्यूट्स एंड हिज स्टेडी लव फॉर श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु. सो टुडे इज द मोस्ट ऑस्पिशियस अपियरेंस डे ऑफ श्री गदाधर पंडित. And Gadadhar Pandit was born on the dark moon in the month of Vaishakh. In fact, to describe the characteristics of Gadadhar Pandit is impossible. Because in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said in the Antya Leela, Panditera Bhava Mudra Kaha Nana Yaya Gadadhar Prananatha Namahaila Yaya. So no one can describe the characteristics of Sri Gadadhar Pandit. Therefore, to make it easy, no? The another name for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Gadadhar Prananatha. means the life and soul of Sri Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit was very, very dear to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu had so much affection for Gadadhar that he could not be without Gadadhar Pandit even for a moment. In fact, the childhood pastimes of Gadadhar Pandit and Gauranga are very interesting, because Gadadhar had to put up with Nimai's behavior. Why? Because there was a huge contrast between the nature of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar. Just like there is a contrast in nature between Srimati Radharani and Krishna. And there is a famous Vaishnava saint, Purandara Dasa. He's comes in the line of Madhva Sampradaya, and he's considered to be Narada Muni himself. So he composed a beautiful song on the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Rupa, as we studied in this. Lakshmi Rupa is who is Gadadhar. So he describes that contrast between the nature between the goddess of fortune and the Supreme Lord. And he says, Lalita charu shile nino, kalaki kalaha priya navano, kulata kuruhu illa innu, nilayu kandilla. So this means the goddess of fortune, she is the most delicate, most gentle, and extremely elegant personality. And she is very dignified, as we see also Gadadhar Pandit. And Sri Hari, on the contrary, he's extremely naughty, whimsical, and unpredictable by nature. So he goes on to basically kind of find out why Gadadhar Pandit, for instance, being the goddess of fortune, being very serious. We can read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he was very composed, very self-composed, very serious, and he always liked to be alone. And Gauranga Mahaprabhu was exactly the opposite. He's extremely fickle-minded, he was unsteady and whimsical in his childhood. And in fact, in Gangadas Pandit's school, when Gauranga and Gadadhar used to go to school, every single day, it was a ritual for Mahaprabhu to tease Gadadhar Pandit. How? By asking all kinds of whimsical and illogical questions and probe Gadadhar Pandit. And we often hear that Srimati Radharani is more merciful than Krishna. In fact, in the same song that I quoted earlier, he glorifies Lakshmiji's qualities and he says, being so powerful, you're the goddess of fortune. Everybody actually comes to you for asking fortune. How come did you get attracted to Ramaniya Swarupi Nino Amita Gora Rupa Navano Namiparishta Dani Nino Danava Bedu Babanike Politeyata Kamalakumi Vasudevage. Ramaniya Swarupi, she is the most beautiful form. And Amita Ghora Rupa, Narsingadev. So there's a contrast again. He's actually taking a most terror form, scaring everybody. And he says, you are giving charity, you are the charity personified. You give fortune to everybody. And you got attracted by this little boy as Vamanadev. He went and asked for 3 feet of land. So beautifully describes the contrast between the quality of the goddess of fortune and the Supreme Lord. And being Mahaprabhu, even Krishna could not actually understand how Srimati Radharani was feeling. So in fact, being Krishna, he couldn't experience that, and he had to even take the mood of Srimati Radharani as Gadadhar Pandit to experience what the goddess of fortune feels. So this basically tells us that it's very difficult to glorify Gadadhar Pandit. And when Gadadhar Pandit would behave in this whimsical way and asking all these illogical questions, Gadadhar Pandit would become very baffled. What is all these questions? In fact, he would try his best to keep Gora away from him as much as possible. But he could not remain away from Gauranga Mahaprabhu even for 1 second. So he was in constant dilemma, what to do. So one day Mahaprabhu Gauranga came to Gadai and he said, "Oh, you know what? Soon I will become such a great Vaishnava. Even Brahma and Shiva will come to me and bow down in front of me." So in this way, Gadai and Nimai, they were inseparable in their childhood pastimes. One day when Gadadhar Pandit, this is after Mahaprabhu came back from Gaya, because once Mahaprabhu went to Gaya and came back, everything changed to 360 degrees. And what Gauranga Mahaprabhu had said was starting to happen. He had completely changed. So Gadadhar Prabhu brought Tambula for Mahaprabhu, and he went to offer it, and he saw that Gauranga was in a completely different mood. And he started to cry and weep seeing Gadadhar, and he started to say, "Where is Shyamasundara? Gadadhar, did you see Shyamasundara?" He started to cry and weep, and Gadadhar became very confused because he had never seen Chaitanya behaving in this way. So he thought, what should I say? And he said, "Oh, yes, where is Shyamasundara? Where is the boy with the yellow clothes? Where is he?" And Gadadhar Pandit immediately thought of an intelligent idea and said, "He's in your heart, Gauranga, he's in your heart." Immediately Gauranga Mahaprabhu started tearing his heart, chest, started to tear it. And Gadadhar Pandit became very afraid, and immediately he stopped, he held the hands of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and he said, "Look, you have to be patient, you know. If you are patient, then Krishna will appear to you." And as soon as he heard this from Gadadhar Pandit, because anything Gadadhar Pandit would say, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would believe in it. So immediately he stopped it. And at a distance, Sachi Mata was observing all this. So as soon as she saw this happening, immediately she felt a sense of great relief. And she thought, "My Gaura, my Nimai is very safe when Gadai is there." And she in fact told Gadadhar Pandit, "Please always stay with my Nimai so he can be safe." And one day when they were walking into the forest groves, Gauranga Mahaprabhu was entering a meditative mood, and soon he became encaptured by remembering the Vrindavan pastimes. And immediately seeing this, all the associates of Lord Chaitanya, Mukunda Datta, Gadadhar Pandit, they immediately prepare for this moment. And they saw Mahaprabhu was entering. Mukunda Datta started to begin, he began singing beautiful songs in the Purva Raga. And then Gadadhar Pandit made a beautiful garland for Mahaprabhu, and he garlanded Mahaprabhu in the midst of the forest groves. And in fact, Gadadhar Pandit would regularly smear chandanwood paste on Mahaprabhu, make these garlands, make a beautiful bed made of flowers for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this became a constant pastime among the associates of Lord Chaitanya. And one day Mahaprabhu, he was lying down and suddenly he started calling out, "Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Pundarik Vidyanidhi," and he started to cry. And all the associates around Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started wondering, what is happening? Who is this Pundarik Vidyanidhi? They had never heard of him. So from that time onwards, devotees started to inquire, and there were some devotees like Mukunda Datta who very well knew Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So one day Mukunda Datta had promised to Gadadhar Pandit, "I will take you and introduce you to a Mahabhagavat devotee." So that day had come. So Mukunda Datta took Gadadhar Pandit to meet with Pundarik Vidyanidhi. In fact, it's very fascinating to study the personalities, who they are. And it is said that Pundarik Vidyanidhi was the father of Srimati Radharani in Krishna Leela. And in fact, Mukunda Datta also, in the Krishna Leela, there are two very, very special personalities. They appear as Madhukanta and Madhuvrata in Krishna Leela. And in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, they appear as Vasudeva Datta and Mukunda Datta. And they are very, very famous and known to please the Supreme Lord with all their songs. So we should really study all these, how the personalities appear from Krishna Leela and Chaitanya Leela. So basically now, Mukunda Datta is taking Gadadhar Pandit to meet Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Pundarik Vidyanidhi, this is a very interesting scene. And this is a great example to show how a perfect disciple should behave. And when going to meet a sadhu, it is said that to meet a sadhu, there are two sides. There are two sides of a sadhu. One is the kripa, the mercy aspect of a sadhu. If we go and take darshan of a sadhu, we can either get mercy, or there is another aspect, it's called vanchana, means cheating. Actually, Gaur Govind Maharaj, he very nicely explains this aspect. It is said that whatever we deserve, we get that. So we will see in the pastimes of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, when you look at Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he was actually a very, very elevated devotee. He was a Mahabhagavat, but he looked like exactly like a great bogey enjoyer. He would dress in very, very costly garments. He was wearing extremely valuable jewels. All his 10 fingers were covered with beautiful, valuable rings, all 10 fingers. And he used to chew pan, and he used to have a pot made of ashtadhatu and gold, very expensive, very valuable, to throw the pan after you, when you spit it. So as soon as somebody sees Pundarik Vidyanidhi, kripa or vanchana? Okay. So for a moment, Gadadhar Pandit became a little doubtful. And immediately Mukunda Datta read the mind of Gadadhar Pandit. He looked at Gadadhar Pandit and he immediately started to sing a beautiful verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Aho bakiyam stanakala kutam jigam saya payaya dapi sadvi lebe gatim datri muchitam tatonyam kamva dayalum sharanam vrajema. Baki means putana, means the sister of Bakasura. What did she do, putana? She came to kill Krishna by smearing poison to her breasts, and she allowed Krishna to suck from her breast. And what did Krishna do? He sucked her breast and he sucked her life air out. That's what Krishna did. And after she was killed, Krishna actually considered this act of trying to feed Krishna with her breast milk as a motherly affection. So immediately Krishna gave her a position of a mother in the spiritual world. So this Bhagavatam verse is asking, is there anyone else you can take shelter of? Somebody who's more merciful than this personality who gave Putana the position of a mother. As soon as Pundarik Vidyanidhi heard this verse, he immediately entered into ecstasy. He started to roll on the ground and cry and weep, and he started tearing off all those expensive cushions. He kicked that pot made of ashtadhatu. He made a big mess there. And this went constantly for hours. He started to cry and weep. Gadadhar Pandit was watching all this and immediately started to feel a sense of lamentation. Oh, maybe I offended this great Mahabhagavat devotee. And he immediately decided, and he expressed to Mukunda Datta, I want to take initiation from this personality. In this way, I will be able to counteract the offense. And then, in fact, he did take initiation. This actually shows the perfect mood of a sincere devotee. It is said, Gadadhar Pandit teno puna mantra dila odan shastri dine yatra ye dekhila. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi initiated Gadadhar Pandit on the day of Odan Shasti. And there's actually another very interesting pastime that follows on that day. You should today read that pastime. It is actually very beautiful. Just to give you a little hint, Pundarik Vidyanidhi sees Jagannath being covered with a particular cloth, and he starts to think, what is this pujari doing, and feels a little bit of sense of disgust. And that same night, Jagannath comes in the dream of Pundarik Vidyanidhi and slaps him on the face. And morning he wakes up and his face is completely swollen and red, and he's in ecstasy. He's actually not feeling bad, but he's feeling extremely happy that Jagannath came and gave him this mercy. So this pastime can actually teach us many things. First of all, our philosophy, Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, is that bhakti is not a visible thing. It is not something about externally identification of person and saying this person has bhakti. In fact, it is said that anyone can have bhakti, regardless of their varna, of their age, of their service, because it's something that is inside. In ISKCON, we have many examples of people leaving Krishna consciousness. We should not actually be surprised by that. We should actually be surprised by people who stay. People who can listen to the same class over and over again, being bored, they already know everything, but they're still around. They actually understand that there's so many differences among the devotees and they can still tolerate that. Why? Because they have come to that stage of understanding that bhakti is not dependent on these things. And we need to understand that we are not even in the position of detecting bhakti. We cannot even say this person has bhakti and this person does not have bhakti. Because, why? Because I was hearing how we are conditioned. Lifetimes, millions of lifetimes, we are conditioned with this mentality of fruitive activity. I do this, I get this. Right? I perform austerities and I get a result. But bhakti does not work like that. Somebody may think, oh, I am following the rules and regulations for so many years and I'm chanting the mantra, I do so many austerities. But Prabhus, that if you're expecting that, it is not bhakti, it's actually liberation. That is different. And Advaita Acharya in fact explains something that surprised me. See, many of these things I learned because I was supposed to give the class. I started studying and I was amazed to see certain things. And I have these verses and quotes written here. Chaitanya Charitamrita is so amazing. It is said that it's easy to understand Krishna and relish the pastimes of Krishna Leela, but to understand Mahaprabhu's Leela, to understand the mentality of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is extremely difficult. One such verse, it's how it is very, very tricky to understand bhakti. It is very, very tricky to give a definition to who is actually eligible for Krishna Prema. Advaita Acharya says, Vidya Dana Kula Adi Tapasya Ramade Tora Bhakti Tora Bhakti Ye Janavade. Let all the sinful people, let's hear carefully who he calls as sinful. Those who are proud of their education, wealth, high birth, austerities, and those who place obstacles in the path of your devotees and your devotional service, burn to death. Why this is said so? Because again, Mahaprabhu, we often hear, no? Krishna has all qualities, right? But actually there is one quality Krishna does not have. Srimati Radharani does not have. Pride. They are completely devoid of pride. And therefore, it is said Supreme Lord cannot understand pride. I mean, he can understand everything, but he cannot accept pride because he doesn't have it in him. And in this verse, it is not saying, oh, those who do not follow regulative principles, those who do not do that. It says, those who are proud of it. In the same purport of Chaitanya Bhagavat, more descriptions are given about this Dambha. Dambha means pride. And this pride is actually the beginning of the entanglement, because it comes with false ego. And it is described that, for example, pride born of education, there is pride that I know this, I know that. Then there's pride born of wealth, there's pride born of austerities. We could become very proud of our austerities. I have done so much. I'm much better than this person. That creeps in, finished. Devotional service will be destroyed. And there are even divisions of that pride. It is said that sevaka dambha, that comes with pride with one's service. As soon as we start doing something nicely, that begins. I'm doing this such nice service. Then the next one is actually, we know that ranadapi sunichena tarorapi sashna. We know, yes, I am supposed to be humble. As soon as we start to renounce things and we start to become detached from things, immediately tyagadamba means pride due to renunciation. We may be giving up this and that, but renunciation again takes up. Actually, sometimes people renounce giving classes. No, they are very detached from giving class and very humble. They don't like to actually be in the spotlight and speak. But it is said that generally, what's the fear? Fear of criticism, fear of not doing well. My experience is that as soon as start to prepare for the class, one big realization dawns in the head, I don't know anything. And second thing is, I'm going to get criticized. Actually, even Srimati Radharani was criticized. Criticism is good for our spiritual life. Criticism is the only thing which can actually subdue our pride. Because when we are in under the constant, you know, criticism, then we become more cautious, and there is no possibility of becoming proud. And when we are faced with criticisms, we have to sit down and see, how can I make a positive impact from this criticism? Because it's healthy to receive criticism. That's what I was just hearing from Madhava Lata this morning. It's very healthy to receive criticism because it keeps our pride down. When we are not engaged properly in devotional service, that is where the chances come of becoming proud. Why? We start becoming suspicious of other devotees. Oh, why is this devotee doing this? Because those devotees who are engaged in service, we start seeing them with our own perspective. Mercy, vanchana, we can see either of them. Then, aparads, we start committing offenses. Are we really then the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? We have to look into that. In the same section, Advaita Acharya continues, Se papishta sabadeki maruka pudiya achandala nachuka tornam gunagana. And let all others except those who are proud of all these things, including dog eaters, dance while singing your holy names and qualities. And seeing this, may the proud and the sinful feel the burning. So here Advaita Acharya's definition of sinful is pride. It's a completely contradiction. Here all the sinful people are considered to become ecstatic in love of God and dancing and enjoying the holy name and the qualities and association of devotees. And on the other side, those who are very well knowledgeable and they are very austere, they will suffer because of the pride. Our philosophy in Srimad Bhagavatam is Nirmatsaranam Satam. This is the foundational quality we want to develop in Krishna consciousness. No pride, no envy. The quality that Krishna does not recognize. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is pure love. It's pure devotional service. It's not just activities. It's devotional activities. It's not how much we do. It's not about, actually in fact, it's not about doing. We cannot think, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'll get this, I'll get that. Bhakti is completely independent. We have to be. We have to get into that mood of being a devotee. And not just base our pride on our activities. In the same purport, Vrindavan Das Thakur, he says that the only way we can actually give up this pride is to sincerely dedicate our lives to the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And how to dedicate? Mahaprabhu has very clearly given those indications as well. Prabhu kahe Vaishnav seva naam sankirtan dui kore shigra pabe Shri Krishna charan. By performing naam sankirtan and Vaishnav seva, we can very quickly attain the mercy of Mahaprabhu. Advaitera vakya suni karila humkara Prabhu bale satya ye tomara angikara. Mahaprabhu immediately said, hearing Advaita Acharya's statements, he roared loudly and he said, whatever you say will be fulfilled, so be it. This is another like a shock for me after hearing, you know, jnana, bhakti, vairagya. Immediately I thought, oh, all those things don't even count here. When we're reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, that's complete different perception of how to become a devotee, how to actually identify ourselves as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's servant. All the other books are out of syllabus. It's a new syllabus we have to study again. In Jaiva Dharma, Bhaktivinod Thakur was asked by Vaishnavadas, the dialogue between Vaishnavadas, and he asks, what is the symptom of Sukriti? How do you identify? And it is the reply was, sadhu sangha. We need even Sukriti to appreciate sadhu sangha. Because like when we were discussing about pride, if there is pride, then we cannot appreciate sadhu sangha. We start seeing the faults of other devotees with our perception. And how does sadhu sangha begin? Shravanam, by hearing. And the quality of the hearing, I was hearing a class where Prabhupada saying, first be conscious, then you can become Krishna conscious. Sometimes we hear devotees talking to us, you know, we hear, actually we don't even hear here to leave it here. Even that side is blocked. We don't actually hear to devotees properly. This is an important consideration. I was myself making notes to see how I should improve myself in this hearing aspect. Because there is so much quantity of hearing, but the quality of hearing becomes weak. Then there are pastimes, beautiful pastimes of Gaur Gadadhar. Gadadhar Pandit also later on took Kshetra Sannyas. He stayed in Jagannath Puri, followed Mahaprabhu. He was a lifelong brahmachari, Gadadhar Pandit. And he was serving the Tota Gopinath deity. We all know that side of the story of Gadadhar Pandit. How Gopinath himself sat down so that Gadadhar Pandit could serve him. Another side of Gadadhar Pandit's mood was as a preacher. During the Gaur Purnima festival, Japatak Maharaj was telling this story of when Gadadhar Pandit went preaching in different villages, he had his disciple with him. And in one of the villages, there seemed to be a lot of interest for Krishna consciousness. So immediately Gadadhar Pandit told his disciple, why don't you stay here and preach to these people? Immediately the disciple said, but I don't have any deity. And Gadadhar Pandit was wearing Gopinath deity in his neck, which was extremely dear to him. It was his life and soul. But as soon as this disciple said that, he removed this deity and he gave it to the disciple and he said, now you stay. Immediately the disciple understood, this means a lot to Gadadhar Pandit. But what am I going to do here? I don't have books. I don't have anything here with me to read from to the people. Gadadhar Pandit had a personal copy of Bhagavad Gita handwritten by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. And he gave that book away to the disciple. He could have said, I'll send you in 1 month. No. He gave it to him. So that disciple stayed there. So Gadadhar Pandit, it was very dear to his heart and soul, preaching Krishna consciousness. There is a beautiful dialogue between Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar Pandit. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to go to Vrindavan, he told Gadadhar Pandit, you stay here. You have taken Kshetra Sannyas. You stay here. Prabhu kahe inha kara gopinata sevan, pandit kahe koti seva tvatpada darshan. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Gadadhar Pandit, you please stay here and worship Gopinath in Jagannath Puri, and Gadadhar Pandit replied, one renders service to Gopinath a million times simply by seeing your lotus feet. He told Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And then Mahaprabhu said, Prabhu kahe seva chadibe amai alage dosha, inha rahi seva kara amara santosha. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if you abandon this service, it will become my fault. It is better that you remain here and you render service. That will be up to my satisfaction. And then Gadadhar Pandit said, Pandit kahe sava dosha amara upara, tamalage na yai bhaye keshwara. And he said, don't worry Mahaprabhu, no dosh will come to you. I'll go myself to go and see Sachimata. I'll not go with you. So there's this beautiful conversation between Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar. Back and forth. Gadadhar Prabhu is defending his point. Don't worry, I'll take the faults. I'll not accompany you. So you don't have to take any fault. I'll go myself. And the whole interesting story follows. What happens to the whole story? You should go back and read Chaitanya Charitamrita today. It's Gadadhar Pandit appearance day. You shouldn't get everything here. It's very interesting what happens later. To just give like the main philosophy, Gadadhar later on does follow the instruction of Mahaprabhu. And Advaita Acharya, when Gadadhar Prabhu faints as Mahaprabhu is leaving, he tries to console him. Gadadhar Pandit, you know this is the way of Krishna. This is the way of Gauranga Mahaprabhu's leelas. So please relax. Okay, let me see what other points. Yeah, in conclusion of the relationship between Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar, Antyalila describes it as thus. Pandita Prabhur Prasad Kahana Yaya Gadair Gauranga Bali Andre Loka Gaya. No one can say how merciful the Lord is towards Gadadhar Pandit. But people know one thing. What is that thing? That the Lord is Gadair Gauranga. The Lord Gauranga of Gadadhar Pandit. This is what people know. We cannot describe the characteristics of Gadadhar Pandit, but we know one thing. That Gauranga Mahaprabhu belongs to Gadadhar Pandit. Bhaktivinod Thakur has composed a beautiful poem, Sri Godruma Chandra Bhajana Upadesha. I would like to request everybody to enter into the meditative mood of remembering Sri Sri Gaur and Gadadhar. Gauranga Mahaprabhu is so merciful. Just some time ago, after I finished Bhakti Vaibhav, I go regularly to Gaur Gadadhar temple in Yogapeet, and I had this strong desire. I want to read Chaitanya Charitamrita. I want to actually prepare classes based on different personalities, songs that describe them, and different pastimes. But during general Bhagavatam classes, there's no chance to describe one particular personality or one particular pastime. And I opened the email the other day after visiting Gaur Gadadhar. I opened the inbox and there was an email from Gyanagamya Prabhu. And he said, would you like to give the class on Gadadhar Pandit Appearance Day? And I could not believe it. And this is the power of Gaur Gadadhar. They're extremely merciful. And the chanting that is done in front of Gaur Gadadhar with the mood that please engage me in your service, I have a practical example. It happened so quickly. So I thank you very much for giving me this chance. So let's meditate on this beautiful song by Bhaktivinod Thakur. Smara Gaura Gadadhara Keli Kalam Bhava Gaura Gadadhara Pakshacharam Shrunu Gaura Gadadhara Charukatam Bhaja Godruma Kanana Kunjavidum Bhaja Godruma Kanana Kunjavidum. Just remember the artistically playful pastimes of Gaura and Gadadhar. Just become a loyal follower of Gaura and Gadadhar's camp. Just listen to the captivating stories of Gaur Gadadhar and just worship the beautiful moon of Godruma's forest bowers. Shri Shri Gaura Gadadhar Pandit Appearance Day Ki. Shri Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki. Bhakti Vinod Thakur Ki. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Any comments, suggestions and questions? Please. Hare Krishna Prabhu.
You mentioned, Hare Krishna, you mentioned in the class about that jati, kula, pride.
Okay, dhamma.
Yeah. So, but in our movement, we see sometimes people who are very proud also. They're good devotees, but they are proud and they are in some position harassing the other devotees and like that. So, if during that time they were not being allowed, like, you know, Mahaprabhu would reject Junior Haridas or anyone who is not following Vaishnava etiquette like that. So some people I see, so how is in our movement right now that some people who are not so behaving so badly, misbehaving, mistreating people, how is it that they are going on? Krishna is allowing them to be on a on that. They are good devotees. I do not deny that. They have something. That's why they are there. Like Brahma, he has something. That's why he's on the post of Brahma. So these people, they have something. But at the same time, they are also misbehaving. What do you think? Am I correct?
Okay. So if I understand you correctly, your question is regarding what to do with some devotees that you perceive as proud, but you also perceive them as good devotees, and you're giving examples of great personalities like Brahma or other people in position. Sometimes they're overcome by pride, and how come Krishna is allowing them to be proud and misbehave? Is that your question? Okay. The main theme of this is again perception. Okay. We have to see from whose perspective is this person proud. What do you mean by proud? Okay. Because somebody may say, oh, this person is actually pride basically means the desire to get praise. Okay. Pride basically means to show off. One thing what you asked, why Krishna allows people to misbehave? Why people, especially pride, right? Because Krishna doesn't have pride. He doesn't know what is pride. So generally in our perception, in our perception, when we get a position, we get overcome by false ego. And we think, I am in this position, this should happen as I say. But Krishna does not think like that. Therefore, we cannot say, why is Krishna loving all this? Because he couldn't care less those who are not devotees, those who are not actually advancing. Because he is not overcome by pride. So the pride, again, we have to redefine what pride means. Somebody who stands up and speaks up against somebody or something, and they express their opinion. Okay? And you may say, so proud, you see, he thinks he knows everything, he's expressing this. Right? But there can be another hidden thing behind it. Those who keep quiet, oh, I want to be accepted by everybody. Yes, Prabhu, I agree. Hare Krishna, I'm very humble. That is actually pride, and not where you're willing to get criticized. You're doing something, you're expressing something. Okay? So we have to redefine what pride means. In our mind, pride might mean, oh, if I give a class, it's pride. But maybe the exact opposite thing. For me to come here, sit down, speak in front of you, being a woman, knowing that I'll be criticized for giving class, that makes me humble. I mean, at least in my opinion, it's easier to get criticized for a woman to give class than not, you know. So for me to come here takes humility, because I'm willing to be corrected. Okay, so it depends on what you mean by pride. And in terms of Brahma or other leaders that you may see, or people that we know around us that we think that is pride, it's up to Krishna. It's completely up to, because what the devotee is thinking, what Krishna is thinking about that devotee is none of our business. So the point I would like to re-emphasize is that we cannot detect bhakti in somebody. In the same way, we cannot detect pride in somebody either, because our mind is contaminated with our experience and our perception. So my humble advice or suggestion or answer would be, let's focus on working on ourselves and not give too much attention on who is proud or who is not and what's going to happen to them. I mean, we have very, very limited time to progress in Krishna consciousness. Let's mind our own business, work on our anarthas. Let's recognize our pride, because it's often, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, what does he say? Atmavan manite jagat, and it means we see in others what we have in us. So it's often whatever we see, the faults around, it's actually a reflection of ourselves, something that is in us. Okay? As for trying to obey others, the truth is, our philosophy describes, especially in Chaitanya Charitamrita, see, there is no pride among the exalted devotees. Krishna doesn't have pride. Gadadhar Pandit doesn't have pride. And therefore, you know, everything gets revealed. Let's not speculate about who's proud, who's not, what is a proud activity, what is not. That's my answer. Does it help? Thank you. Anything else? Yes, Prabhuji. Okay, here and then.
It was narrated very nicely about this criticism. One way the criticism is also good for to develop a bhakti in such a manner. But sometimes, you know, somebody criticizes, we are getting automatically some irritation in the mind. So how to control that irritation?
Okay, so Prabhu's question, if I understand you correctly, you're asking about criticism. I mentioned how criticism can actually be a healthy thing for our progress in Krishna consciousness. But you're sharing how sometimes it becomes difficult to accept this criticism, right? How to deal with that? That's your question. So, yes, thank you. When we come to a platform, when we become a little bit advanced, we don't actually see that as negative. Well, I learned as a child, Adadella volite aitu. Whatever happens, nothing happens by chance. Everything happens because of the will of the Lord. As we advance in Krishna consciousness, we can see from the examples of great devotees, how do they take it? Krishna's arrangement, Krishna's plan, everything, even disasters. Oh, if that disaster did not happen, Krishna wouldn't be with us, Kunti Devi says. Let the disasters happen again and again. Wow. See, that's the exalted state. I'm not saying we should also say like that. We cannot say that artificially. But try to see in the future what that particular criticism could mean to us. If we are being criticized and not becoming proud, then I will do the next course of actions in a different way. But when I do an activity with pride, everything gets contaminated. So let's remember, as soon as we are criticized, it's good for me. Krishna is actually telling me, be humble. You know, if I fall down from this Vyasasan, I won't get hurt very much, right? But if you put me up there and I fall from there, it's going to hurt really bad. Similarly, in our Krishna consciousness, every now and then a little bit of push by Krishna with different criticisms, different obstacles is better. It's like slow dosage. It's better than a big operation. If you go up there, you know, oh, I am a big devotee, I am this. Could come with anything. Like I said, I'm very renounced, I'm very detached, I'm very humble. That can also come. Then you fall from there, it's going to hurt very badly. So we should thank Krishna. Thank you, Krishna, for giving me this lesson. Thank you, Krishna, for this obstacle. Thank you, Krishna, for this. Because Prabhupada very, very clearly gives this analogy. Okay, you can always remember whenever next time you get a little disturbed. For a devotee, criticism, difficulties is like a kitten in the mouth of a cat. But for a karmi, for those who are not in Krishna consciousness, it is like a rat in the mouth of a cat. So the same, it may appear the same in the mouth of the cat, but it's a completely different thing. When the cat is carrying the cat, it's a kitten, it's taking care of it, it's protecting. Similarly, the difficulties we are given by Krishna is for our growth, is for our eternal happiness. Nobody else wants you to be happy as much as Krishna wants you to be happy. Nobody else, not even you. So we have to have that trust. Just like a father throws the baby up in the air and he catches the baby again, and the baby is laughing when it's thrown up in the air. So similarly, we should laugh at the difficulties Krishna gives us. When we are thrown up, we say, Krishna is going to catch me. Krishna is peddling. I used to, when I was in school, I'd written this poem in my book. Yeah, I still have that book. I keep reading it. I used to tell myself, Shri, keep pedaling, don't give up, Krishna is there. So there's like a cycle which has this double pedal. So you're in the front seat, Krishna is in the back seat. When you go up the road, you start finding it so difficult, you start doubting, is Krishna really pedaling or he's given everything to me? But if you keep pedaling, you'll make it there. So we need to have that faith. Okay, does that help? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Prabhu there?
What an answer of but it has this.
We cannot hear you, Prabhu.
I got a little bit clarification about my question, but please give me some clarification. That is, you said that the great austerities should not be, it will become a false ego.
Okay.
Because what I know is, according to my knowledge, becoming a servant of Krishna, becoming a servant of Krishna or becoming servant of the Lord, it is not a false ego, no. Means it was a great thing. Like it's a true ego, no? Because who are you means I'm a servant of Krishna, I'm a servant of Lord Chaitanya. By saying this is a proof, I think true ego. But how can it become a false ego?
So if I understand you correctly, your question is austerities. When I mentioned about austerities, I said austerities could make us proud. And you're saying that being in the moment of Lord Chaitanya and identifying ourselves as a followers, there is always some kind of pride. Is that bad? Is that your question?
Yeah.
Something like that. Okay. Thank you. Now, first of all, about austerities. I am not propounding here that you should stop doing austerities. Huh? I'm just making a point that austerities alone is not going to give bhakti, nor does austerity guarantee bhakti. Because for somebody who is in love, why Krishna does not have pride? Because he's in love. He's completely in love. So somebody who is completely in love, they do not have problem doing austerities or not being proud. Right? So similarly, when we love Krishna, when we love Lord Chaitanya, immediately austerities becomes easy. We do it as a, it's like a pleasure. Right? So when it is not yet pleasure, we are working towards making that, getting up early in the morning, chanting our rounds, going to the program, listening to the class. This is austerity. But you ask somebody who is already relishing the taste of bhakti, they are enjoying every second of it. There's no time to become proud. You understand? The austerities itself is giving that taste. There's no time for you to think of, which one should I feel proud about? Should I feel proud about my Bhagavatam verses or should I feel proud about my Chaitanya Charitamrita verses? There's no question, because love transcends pride, austerity, everything. So you love, austerity will naturally come. Then the second part of your question about, yes, we are in the most glorious movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the golden age, we know this, most people don't know, we're supposed to be proud about it, isn't it? We have to be very careful. Because first thing is, Mahaprabhu does not like pride. It's so clear from those verses. We have to keep that in mind. So like, if I may like loud kirtans, but if I'm staying with my husband, I love my husband, he does not like, I respect and I do not do it, right? Yes, there is a good justification to say, I'm proud to be Lord Chaitanya's movement, I'm proud to be connected with Srila Prabhupada. But we have to learn to differentiate between false pride and gratitude. Because one thing is to feel grateful. Oh, I'm connected with this movement. I am such fortunate to have Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya, giving freely love of God. Wow, what can be better than this? There's actually not about being proud, but it's about being grateful. Thank you, Krishna. I'm associated with this and many people are not. So you can transform that energy of pride into gratitude. That will help. Is that clear?
Yeah, but you said that. Means pride of austerity means austerity will not come without bhakti, no. So then how can it become false ego? That what I'm asking.
Okay, austerities. Why we'll become proud by austerities? Because we get attached to austerities. Like I mentioned earlier, we're coming from lifetimes of fruitive activities, impersonalism. This is a tinge of that. Impersonalists or even other religions, they actually do not see that Krishna, you know, they think that, oh God, who has almighty, all powerful. They think that he's proud. Why? Because they are proud. So austerities itself, it's helpful, but that's not our goal. If austerity is going to please Krishna, jai ho. If austerity is going to not please Krishna, what's the point? point is bhakti. Krishna doesn't say, give me leaf, give me flower, give me fruit. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati. He does not care about the leaf or the fruit or the water. He cares about the love, the devotion. So he doesn't care about austerity. He cares about what motivation are you doing this austerity with. Are we doing the austerity thinking, I'll come to the Mangala Arati, I will chant my rounds, I will do this and my children will be happy and I will become happy? That's not pure devotional service. That's not Gauranga Mahaprabhu's mood. But if we are thinking, I'm doing austerity because I love Krishna, I like to do it because I want to please Mahaprabhu. I don't want anything. I don't want the destructive mentality, I want this, I want that. It's not a shopping list. That's smartha. That is completely impersonalism. You will find a lot of smarthas in India, extremely austere. They will not eat this and that. They'll cook on firewood only and sleep only on the floor. Do not use the pillow. What's your point? Point is nothing. Nothingness. So that's what they will get. Nothingness. So if we want Krishna, we will get Krishna. If you think austerity, austerity, Krishna will say, so be it. Be austere. Continue being austere eternally. Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. So we shall end here. Again, Shri Shri Gadadhar Pandit Appearance Mahamahotsav Ki Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.